Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
The hills alive with the sound of music.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Maria singing from the Alps, Audrey Hepburn in a habit, the flying nun at cruising altitude, a rubbernecking Whoopi Goldberg. Pop culture has a pretty good store of gleeful nuns, along with plenty of repressed, vindictive sisters and mothers superior. The stereotypical nun is neither action hero, rock star, nor clan fighter. That's why we found a recent list of gutsy nuns and mental floss so intriguing. Freelance writer and frequent word-of-mouth guest Clay Wirestone wrote the article and is with us to run down some of history's boldest sisters. Clay, great to have you back.
It's great to be here.
So many women did get themselves to nunneries throughout history, and their stories have pretty much disappeared. But were you surprised to find out about all these feisty nuns?
A little bit. There were many more than I could even use in the article, but I came to realize that for so long, if women didn't want to get married or if they wanted to continue studies in one way or another, their only option really was a life of religious service.
So some of them that you found, let's go to one, the bold warrior nun, who some call the Tibetan Joan of Arc. Her name is Ani Pachen, if I'm saying that right.
I think so, yes. She was a Tibetan Buddhist nun. She was born in 1933 to the leader of a powerful clan. Unfortunately, he died just a couple of decades later after she'd already started some religious studies. But the Chinese at that point were invading Tibet. They were kind of taking it over, and she actually took up the leadership of her clan, leading up to 600 warriors on horseback against, you know, Chinese tanks. She was unfortunately captured soon thereafter and then spent some 20 years in prison. After she was released, she then had a really kind of epic escape across the mountains on foot to finally join the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan government in exile.
What a story. Another warrior of sorts, Catherine Drexel, who you called the crusading heiress. Now, what is her story?
Well, she came from a hugely wealthy family. Her uncles founded Drexel University in Philadelphia, and she was really focused on education. She thought the real solution to poverty for African Americans and Native Americans was education, was schooling. And she was originally just going to donate money, as many people in her family had. But when she and her sister were touring Europe in 1887, they met Pope Leo XIII, and he suggested that Catherine actually enter the religious service herself. So she ended up starting her own order. She called it the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament for Indians and Colored People, and ended up founding more than 60 schools in the South and Western U.S., and played a huge role in the founding of Xavier University in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Now, she used her fortune to support her work. Now, does that signal a kind of independence from church doctrine? I'm just curious about how the church regarded her and other bold nuns.
Well, I mean, Catherine Drexel was eventually canonized. She is Saint Catherine now, so she was obviously very well regarded. I think a lot of it depends on how effectively these women worked inside the hierarchy of the church, which was, after all, still a male-dominated organization.
And she also helped face down the Klan. I guess she was really fighting against discrimination on a lot of levels.
Well, not just the Klan. I mean, it was a very gutsy thing to do at the time that she was doing it, to found these schools and to, you know, promote this kind of education.
Let's move on to the story of Juana Inez de la Cruz. You dub her the genius in the convent. Who is she?
Well, she was a Mexican prodigy who lived in the latter half of the 1600s, but she was born illegitimate, which was really the root cause of all of her problems, because she wanted to study, she wanted to write, and even though she had friends in the nobility, they weren't really willing to underwrite her after the age of 18 or so. She didn't want to get married, so she entered a convent. And, you know, at that point, she kind of flourished. She wrote a lot of poetry. She amassed a library of over 4,000 volumes. But, you know, that eventually gained the attention of the church authorities, who weren't so fond of that, kind of that independent thinking, and also some of the more sensuous aspects to the poetry she wrote. And so she was eventually forced to renounce the library, renounce her writing, and then she died from the plague a couple of years later. So not all of these stories end very happily.
I guess not. We're talking about Mother Superior. That's the title of an article in Mental Floss magazine written by our guest, Clay Wirestone. He's also arts editor at the Concord Monitor. Joining us to talk about some of history's most awesome nuns. Let's talk about one who had a pretty glitzy life before entering the convent. Now, this is the Hollywood starlet, Mother Prioress Dolores Hart.
Well, Mother Prioress came a little bit later. But yes, Dolores Hart was a rising starlet in the late 50s and 60s. She starred in, I believe, Loving You with Elvis Presley, and also was on screen with Montgomery Clift, but she'd always felt the pull of religious life, so she made her break from Hollywood at age 24 to go out to Connecticut to join an abbey. But the thing was is that she didn't end up turning her back on it entirely. She had Hollywood connections with Patricia Neal and Paul Newman. She leaned on them to help build a performing arts center at the abbey, and in the 1990s, she asked to rejoin the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. So now she and her fellow nuns watch the Oscar screeners every year and help pick their votes.
I've saved my favorite nun for last, the religious rock star Hildegard von Bingen. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, you have to go back a long time for Hildegard. She was born in 1098, and she had visions from a very early age, vivid hallucinatory visions, but she didn't tell anybody about them until age 43, at which point then she started writing poetry, she started writing books describing these mystical revelations, and she started writing music as well. She gained a lot of followers and founded her own convent at the age of 50, and then she actually started touring the countryside, giving talks.
Drawing crowds?
Yes, which of course is amazing because she was in the Catholic Church when women were not supposed to preach, and she explained it by saying she was hearing these words directly from God, and so she wasn't actually interpreting it, she was just relaying the message. But I mean, I think if you look at that today, I mean, like where she's from, you know, today she would have been someone like Angela Merkel or perhaps Hillary Clinton. I mean, she had that much charisma and that much power.
Any of the contenders that didn't make it into the article that stick with you?
Well, there's I believe her name is Catherine the Astonishing, who had, she apparently was resurrected at her own funeral and flew up into the rafters. There's some, not sure how true that actually was.
I think Hollywood is ever going to catch up and remake the nun archetype in these women's images.
You know, I hope so. I mean, these are special people and they have special talents and stories. But on the other hand, they're very genuine, they're very devoted, and I'm not sure how that really translates into a summer blockbuster.
Yeah, I'm not seeing Whoopi Goldberg starring in any of those.
Probably not.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us, Clay Wirestone.
It's always a pleasure.
We're listening to a contemporary take on a composition written by Hildegard von Bingen, who Clay called the religious rock star, just one of those that he profiled in Mental Floss. And we posted more on them, including his article at wordofmouthradio.org. Clay Wirestone is arts editor for the Concord Monitor and a regular contributor to Mental Floss magazine.